Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the American Awakening. You are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is not the Democracy Broadcasting Network. Do not give the enemy the language. There's no law enforcement in a free republic, only peace officers. Unfortunately, there's no money in peace officering, so they got to have law enforcement, as if we're all conscripts in the military. There's no such thing as red states and blue states. You're either free or you're a slave. Don't ascribe to color coding of anything. Society cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. There's no such thing as constructive possession. It's a lie made up by the attorney prostitutes, members of the bar, loyal to the Crown of England. They got an ESQ next to their name. That stands for Esquire. That's a squire. That's a British title of nobility. They're not supposed to have that and be passing laws that we're supposed to live under, 99% of which are unlawful. Welcome back, folks, my friends. We're going to have Gary and Chris tonight. We're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to get back into the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. The learned elders of Zion. What a pathetic oxymoron that is. The only thing these pukes are learned in is doing wicked, evil, disgusting things, perverting the minds of the young, confusing the minds of the older, and pitting one group against another in the classic British MI6 intelligence agency model of divide and conquer. Don't forget what our ISIS is Israel clip said at the very end. Kind of the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, ISIS, and kind of based on the British model. like MI6 British, like ISIS in the dictionary that says, see Oxford, Oxford University, where all the MI6 graduates come from. Of that ISIS, look it up. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, ISIS. An Egyptian goddess of fertility who married her brother. And number two, the second definition, Oxford, England. They call their town ISIS in Oxford. Now, what do you think, where do you think ISIS came from? Well, anyway, I'd like to welcome Gary and Chris back to the broadcast. I want to remind people two things. Number one, this broadcast stands on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's a call to action. That's not a call to sit down and wait for the beautiful second coming of the Lord and just let all the disgusting wickedness and turn earth into hell when we're supposed to have on earth as it is in heaven. Gary and Chris, are you there? Let's start with Gary. Gary, are you with me, my sir?
Hello, Eric, and hi, Chris. This is Gary Don. I yield over to Chris.
Excellent. Chris, you want to introduce yourself? Are you with us, Chris? Can you hear us okay?
Well, believe it or not, you're coming in loud and clear, Eric and Gary.
Beautiful. And you're coming through really well tonight, Chris. You've got a much better connection, and that helps a lot. So before I get into, and the second thing is I want to remind people that Freedom Screaming season opened, and it lasts for 365 days. No permit is required. Roll down the window of your car and scream freedom. I wanted to cover something very briefly here that I heard on another broadcast. It was kind of a patriotic montage of Donald Trump, who, by the way, apparently his name's not really Trump. It's Drumpf, D-R-U-M-F. Is this true? Can anybody confirm or deny this? Patriotic music in the background. And he's talking, and we'll make America great again. And he said some interesting things, and I listened very carefully to what this man says. I don't get him whipped up in the patriotic fervor that he's better than Hillary, which I don't think he is, because the drug war is getting bigger, the military-industrial complex is getting bigger, the asset forfeiture and seizure is getting bigger. We got more Goldman Sachs operatives than the new Goldman Trump administration. So I listened very carefully to what this man says, and he says we need to drive out the terrorists, drive out the extremists. Now that's very dangerous once anyone in power starts tying those two terms together, terrorism equals extremism. That's the same thing they pulled in court. I'll never forget it with Stephen Dean in Utah. They tried to say patriot equals terrorist. They're doing it all across the country with every patriot and everything they do. We know it's absolutely absurd. It's a complete upside-down lie. And whenever a politician or somebody in the corporate government starts talking about terrorist extremists, and we gotta keep people safe in this world of international extremism, which Trump has said before in the past. This wasn't the first time he's done this. He said it in his Saudi Arabia speech. We need to act to keep people safe in this world of international extremism. First of all, the government should not be acting on anything. Every time they act, we suffer. They should do nothing but sit at the donut shop until we call them and say, there's an emergency. Fortunately, there's no money in that for the incorporated government. The second thing is, act to keep people safe. Any government that's pimping the safety issue is out to control you and out to sell you on, hey, be scared. Mommy government, daddy government will take care of you. Give the Department of Homeland Gestapo another $1 trillion. Give your local police department some more MRAPs and tanks and automatic weapons to use against the people who strictly want their private property left alone.
You know, Eric.
And, of course, we need to act to keep people safe. You want to make it three? Want to go for three? It's a trifecta of absurdities. Act? Don't. Safe? Never. That's a scary downward spiral into Nazism and command and control totalitarianism. And the third thing is this world of international extremism. In his speech just the other day, he said right next to each other, he said, we need to drive out the terrorists, drive out the extremists. That's very scary. Didn't Barry Goldwater say extremism in defense of liberty, extremism in defense of freedom, extremism in defense of the Bill of Rights? Extremism in defense of what is righteous and godly, that's not a vice, that's not bad, that's certainly not evil or wrong, and it's certainly not terroristic. Leave it to the terrorist government to put that label on us. Oh, how about this one? We are a great friend and partner of the state of Israel. He didn't say the people of Israel. He said we're a great friend and partner with the state of Israel. And we all know, listening to this broadcast, the state is a fictitious entity. It's made up. It's fictitious. It does not exist. Only in the mind. Only a living man, woman, or child can be the victim of a crime, can be a great friend and partner. We can never be a great friend and partner with the state of Israel unless you're an incorporated Zionist. And we'll get to the protocols of Zion in just a few minutes here. A new vision will govern America. This is Trump's words. This is not mine. What's this new vision? I thought we were resurrecting the Republic, hello. I thought we were turning the clock back to like more towards 1776, where he had a little teeny-weeny bit of freedom before the Freemasons got a hold of the judicial system with the Judiciary Act of 1789, rammed through by the Freemason Oliver Ellsworth, one of 25 senators, other senators who said this is an evil, vile, wicked bill. And, of course, leave it to the Freemason to put through the command and control structure that we now suffer in the witch's court. A lack of pride and confidence America has had recently. Huh? Well, first of all, pride's a sin. And I don't like to hear people pimping pride. Be happy. Be joyous. Be glad. But don't be proud. Pride is a sin. And nobody's lacking confidence in America except we got conquered. The military is our greatest force for freedom and justice. I don't think so. If you want to make the case the military is a protection device and it's the best one in the world, okay, great, but it's not used for that anymore. It's used for international conquest, the modern conquistadors. And, of course, my favorite, we need to make our streets safer. Oh, joy. Back to the pimping of the safety. We don't need the government to keep us safe, and it never can, number one. So it's a complete lie. He knows it is. He's pushing the neocon, typical Republican lever pulling, old school Rush Limbaugh listening. But we can keep people safe by having more police out there. Oh, great. They end up taking people's private property and tax foreclosures and pulling people over for minor traffic infractions. The person I talked to who went to jail recently and got out said 95% of the people are in there for either a suspended license. What was the other one he mentioned? Saying the wrong thing in court to the judge. I think that was it, minor drug possessions. And that's it. Not one of them having a victim to the crime. Of course, back to the state as a victim. Cannot be. It's a fictitious entity. I wanted to remind people that this is what happens when... Does anybody remember who the chief of police was in New York City on 9/11/2001, when the World Trade Center disaster happened? Because everybody knows, I think, that Rudolph Giuliani was the mayor of New York City. Does anybody know who the chief of police was? His name is Bernard Carrick. And I remember reading this back when this all went down in 2006. He was indicted and paid $250,000 to get out of two misdemeanors. And in 2010, I think, or 11, he was sent to prison federal for 8 felonies, including public corruption, etc., etc. And, you know, if he pled guilty to 8, that means there had to be 30 or 40 counts. They usually plead down. I mean, if you're pleading down to 8, that's where, what do you think the starting point was? Convicted felon ran a giant mafia racket out of the New York City Police Department. Had to be intimately related to Donald Trump, because that was during Donald Trump's prime rise. He was peeking out at that time. You don't get anything done in New York without being related to the mob and to the LA, to the highest rank of the LAPD, which works for the mayor. So reading Bernard Carrick, and Bernard Carrick got out of prison recently and is now a commentator for CNN. Convicted felon Bernard Carrick. It makes me feel so much safer to know that streets of New York were under Bernard Carrick. But in his bio, I'm looking for it right here. He was a drug warrior against, you know, he was big in the drug war there. And of course, he didn't arrest anybody in the CIA, the people who were bringing it in. He went after the low-level black people in Harlem. And where is it here? It said, I got to find this here because it was very interesting. Jail warden by drugs in Harlem, Medal of Valor, Rikers Island. Oh, gosh. It tells he was a special... Oh, gosh, now I can't find it. It's not a very long thing.
I got a couple of things for you while you're hunting.
Well, I'm looking for that, Chris or Gary. You just come on in.
Well, I was going to tell you that you were talking about the MI6. It's my... suggestion that more likely is the Mossad Israeli 6, that VI meaning 6, and whenever he was talking about a new vision, it was a new vision for America that he was talking about. And so we have to be a little cautious about some of the words we use, because they have secrets hidden within them, especially when they have that VI in there, or ID, or it's really pretty treacherous. Our language has been used as a war weapon against us to deceive us.
Well, that's when I debated the Mason, and he said we've got the knowledge. That was one of the things he said. We've got the knowledge, and that means that they have the knowledge of the language. But unfortunately, it's not knowledge; it's manipulation, and it's complete fabrication, constructive possession. The word possession in the very definition requires actual holding. That means you have to have it in your hand at least for a second to possess it. Having it just nearby in the room or in the house somewhere, that doesn't qualify. Oh, but boy, they're not going to be able to arrest people unless they make up a new word called constructive possession. And now you're in possession of something if it's halfway across the world in a car that you owned 5 years ago. Here it is. A jail warden with a third-degree black belt in Taekwondo, Bernard Carrick, and a background in anti-terrorism, who worked for years in the Middle East for Saudi royalty, took a substantial pay cut to become a beat cop in Times Square in 1986. Okay, now, this guy worked for the Saudi royalty, where he was probably making a fortune, and took a pay cut to be a beat cop in New York, and then all of a sudden magically becomes chief of police for 9/11, which was executed by Saudi nationals. The plot thickens. I thought that was very interesting bio on convicted felon Bernard Carrick. Used to work for Saudi royalty. Didn't work for a corporation. He didn't work for one of the, you know, construction companies over there doing security. He worked for the Saudi royalty in anti-terrorism. And how convenient that the Saudis were behind 9/11 while he was the chief of police. Very, very, very interesting. I wanted to remind people, if they're going through the witch's court for any type of nightmarish situation, there are some things that take place in the witch's court, such as judges getting involved with threatening defendants and threatening accused people with longer prison terms if you don't take a plea. And, I mean, that's just as common.
Coercion.
Seen it happen recently, very recently, just, well, probably a week and a half ago. And it's almost become where we, I mean, nobody should accept this, but it's such common practice. I almost thought it was just the way, you know, but you wait till you hear the obstacles that are in place that should be preventing if people claim these points in their paperwork. You should be able to put the judge at bay and not be coming, because when the prosecutor comes and says, you know, either to the pro se defendant, the accused, the person on trial at the witch's court, or to the attorney representing the accused, he says, oh, you know, you can take this plea for 3 years, or you're going to get this. The judge is going to give you more prison time if you don't take the plea. I mean, this goes on all the time. So looking into this, I noticed that there's several. Let's start with this one right here. Well, I'm going to read what I wrote. This is I want to leave the names to protect the innocent. Let's just get right into the meat and potatoes. The Federal Rules of Procedure 11, subsection E, subsection 1, say a judge's improper participation in plea negotiations raise questions of impartiality and coerciveness. United States versus Bruce, Ninth Circuit, 1998, I think that is. Once again, the United States versus Bruce. Judges' improper participation in plea negotiations raise question of impartiality and coerciveness. About this, and these are things that I would state in any arguments, when if you ever get threatened that you're going to get a big worse sentence if you don't take the plea, you come right back with these. How about opinion number 779 from the American Bar Association Ethics Committee? Quote, a judge should not be a party to advanced arrangements for the determination of sentence, whether as a result of a guilty plea or finding of guilt based on proof. That's the opinion number 779 of the American Bar Association's Ethics Committee. The American Bar Association standards relating to pleas of guilty, subdivision E, subsection 1, Subsection 3.3a prohibits the court from participating in plea discussions. 1968. Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure 11c1 requires the court to inform the defendant of the maximum possible sentence or penalty. That's getting a little bit off the immediate track of what I was talking about. I added that for other reasons, because in this case, the person who was being accused was not told by the judge during this plea that what the maximum sentence would be, and they're supposed to do that under U.S. versus Jamarillo Suarez, J-A-R-I-M-I-L-L-O, Suarez, S-U-A-R-E-Z, Ninth Circuit, 1998. That means breaks.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the American Awakening. Thank you for joining us tonight. You are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am Eric the Freedom Screamer. We're joined by Gary in Michigan and Chris in Las Vegas, a real-life Alexander Solzhenitsyn. No joke. So, Chris and Gary, would you like to chat for a few minutes before we get off into the protocols of Zion, the who are the elders? We did an introduction last week. I want to remind people, if you enjoy this broadcast and you want to help support the network in a way that's other than financial, could you please be a force multiplier and repost, rebroadcast, retweet, get this connection, this link to this broadcast, a recording of it, a CD, hard copy, use your imagination, whatever you can do to spread the word on this. Number one, the jury nullification message will very likely save you or somebody else if you can get the message out. And number two, there's all kinds of other truths and awakenings that we experience here on the American Awakening. Chris?
Well, I'm not happy about being a Solzhenitsyn, I'll tell you that. It ain't an easy road to hoe, for sure, and being falsely accused of felony crimes by the powers that be that launch multiple arrows at you in a full-on assault using every legal dirty trick they can muster to incriminate a man that didn't injure anybody, that I'm the only victim of the crime. So I can't believe it. America apparently is lost, and I'm beginning to wonder if there's any justice left in this world. It's really troubling.
Well, it's always darkness before the light. I try to look at it, the glass. I know these are very difficult to look at it this way from a position of you yourself or Tom LaCavara or the Bundys who are incarcerated and sitting in a cage and being tortured for crimes that don't exist, for victimless, bogus statutory violations and offenses being witnessed against by corrupt agents of an incorporated government who are just lying and then whimpering on stage about how they were threatened. Are you kidding me? The greatest threat to us is the government. No, any threat to them is well-deserved and well-earned on their part. By the way, there really was no threat at the Bundy's house. Those people very peacefully took their cattle back from the government cattle thieves who should be hanged for what they're doing and what they did. And instead, we have patriots persecuted, and we have the president, who's supposedly a patriot, flitting off to Saudi Arabia in Europe like Mary Poppins. Gary Blackwell, I'll tell you, you know, we'll do our prayer after the bottom of the hour. Chris, any more comments on what I was talking about before with the manipulation of the language? I know you're big on words and the origins of words,
Well, I am. But first, I'd like to comment about the first so-called action when the federal judge took away the land rights that they'd had for preceding the BLM probably 100 years. The Bundys were stripped of it. It was a Fifth Amendment takings about just compensation of their water rights that they'd had for before Nevada was a state. And for sure before the BLM became an agency. In fact, it used to be the Land Management, Department of Land Management. Then they switched to the Bureau of Land Management. Well, a bureau is an agency under the POTUS, under the Legislative Acts, as his CEO or else Commander-in-Chief role, if you follow the line of the Lieber Code, where they've been at war with the American people ever since, and we've been declared to be enemies of the state. In fact, Harry Reid called us all terrorists, and I think he's really the true terrorist in America, or one of them, because it was one of his judges that ruled against the Bundys in the first place to steal their land. And it's probably a deeper scheme now that we know things that have occurred with the Cedar Family Trust, LLC, and the Reed Family Trust, LLC, where they BLM whistleblower on YouTube outed them for chiseling off lands that belonged to we the people that were only supposed to be held as administrators or stewards of the lands until they were returned to the state, the people they're in.
Right, right. They're supposed to cut the grass and pull the weeds and that's about it. They're not supposed to, like conquistadors, take over the land that belongs to the people, and rightfully so. And it does all come down to water. Boy, it was crystal clear that it's the water rights, it's the land, and it's even more importantly the water. If there's no water on the land, that's problematic. Land with water near it or on it is priceless. And the government knows that, and they're not working for the people anymore. They're working for themselves, and in the immediate sense that they get a paycheck. But the ultimate goal is they're working for the big globalist players. They're working for the Rothschilds. They're working for the Vatican Bank and the Committee of 300 out of London. And we'll talk about that. That number appears in the Protocols of Zion, which we will talk about after this break. Support the network, won't you? If you like what you hear, let us know and help out by spreading the word. We'll be right back. This is Eric, the Freedom Streamer, on the American Awakening on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins, and our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the American Awakening. This is Eric Freedom Screamer. I'm with Gary in Michigan. I'm with Chris in Las Vegas. We've got a caller on the line. We'll get to our caller in just a second. I wanted to remind people this broadcast stands on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's a call to activism. I encourage everybody listening to this broadcast to be an activist. I pass out jury nullification flyers. I went to the Courtroom Watch website, and the jury nullification flyer is printing out just fine. Everything's going smoothly. Just go to courtroomwatch.com, click on the where it says jury nullification, copy this before they block it again, and go there and copy it before they block it again. It's a good nullification flyer. It's really brief and to the point, and it also exposes the judge for the jury tampering felons that they are, criminals, witches. In New York now, they show the jury a movie. I haven't had the fortune of watching that movie yet, but I'm sure it's heavy on the manipulation. They may be trying to avoid this felonious behavior, this criminal activity of pressuring juries into only interpreting the law such and such a way, and you can only this and you can only do that, and you can't do jury nullification. What a bunch of baloney. This country was founded on conscience,
And jury nullification. In the early days of the colonies, the colonists were nullifying everything at trial. And the British basically got to the point where they just were frustrated and started using all-out force. And, of course, that never works in a population that's armed, because you will get resistance. Let's go to Gary in Michigan. Gary, how are you tonight? Can you comment on anything that we're talking about and then give us a prayer, please? Gary, you might be muted.
Hello.
Hey, Gary, how are you, my sir?
Good. I'm talking to myself. That's good. I do that quite often.
Yeah, let us know what's on your mind.
I think you're going to have to let me change phones here. I've got to change my phone. So if you want to, I'm going to just drop off here a little bit, and I'll be
sure.
Right back. Okay.
That sounds good. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to...
You got that person waiting in Georgia.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's go to our caller, Gene, in Georgia. That's the perfect thing to do right now. Gene, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, Eric.
Great.
I wanted to relay a story that a guy I know told me about a week or two ago. It was a case similar to Tom's, but I think it was a state charge. This guy was in jail, and he was charged with possession of a handgun, you know, being a felon. And the guy that was being charged, he said, "My attorney's going to get me off. I'm going to walk. I'm going to get out of here." And sure enough, the man walked. And the reason he won the case, and he had two very good criminal trial lawyers that I know to be really good here in Georgia. Anyways, the way he won was that his prior charge, he wasn't really what was classified in Georgia as being a convicted felon, because the prior charge, he plea bargained. So that was called being a known felon, not a convicted felon. And that's the reason he was able to beat that second charge. So I just wanted to relay that to you. I don't know if that applies in Tom's case or not, but it might apply to somebody else out there. So,
Is that a state matter in Georgia, Gene?
I think it might be the way the statute is written or the way things are classified in Georgia. So I wouldn't know if that applies in other states or federal or what.
Yeah, probably.
It should be looked into.
That's interesting. That was probably specific to the state of Georgia if it was a state charge, and they do have those state equivalents of the firearm possession by a convicted felon thing. But Tom's is federal, so I don't know if that approach would work or not. I mean, we're having difficulty getting in communication with his close people, and so it's kind of difficult for us to get that type of information to him. I would hope somebody would relay that to him as best as possible through mail. I believe Tom can still get mail at the county jail that he's in. He was in solitary confinement, not getting any pencils or paper or receiving anything. It was horrible treatment, and I'm pretty sure now he's in general population still, awaiting what appears to be a plea, but we're just not sure. You could go online and check out the calendar for Judge Anna Brown. I attempted to do it, and they were chopping off the right hand of the screen where all the names of the defendants were. So I didn't know who was on the docket. It was, of course, that's their MO is deceit and criminal activity, trying to keep people from staying involved in Tom's case.
All right. Well, what about that woman that was your co-host? You can't reach her? What was her name?
Tom's Lori is very difficult to reach right now. I've sent her several texts and left her messages, and I have not heard back from her. So I hope she's okay, but I heard she's just very busy, and I'm not sure. And apparently, Mike had some communication with one of the court clerks who said Tom was scheduled for a change of plea hearing, which means he's changing a plea from either not guilty to guilty, or that would be my guess. So, but I wish I had more information on that on people, but it's difficult to come by. So I encourage people to do your own investigating. I can't do it all. And I hope people would also get in and do some research and see what they can find out and call in and let us know. I need contributing editors. I need other people to report as well. We haven't heard back from Tom's Lori yet. So anyway, if anybody has heard from Lori, have her or in touch with Lori, have her give us a call and let us know what's going on with Tom's case. There was a time there where Lori did not want us calling the judge, and that is so we, I talked her kind of out of that and said, we got to put, if they're professional and polite, and nobody's making any threats or doing anything stupid, putting public pressure on the judge through phone calls or email or however you want to do it is essential. She was a little sketchy on that, and so I think she may not really like the public. She's looking and wants to do this more in the private type of thing. So that's the only thing I can think of. So there's the best I have on that, Gene. But look into it, see what you can gather. See if you can get a better view of Judge Anna Brown's calendar than I got. I got the date, I got her name, and the time. And then right next to that, there was supposed to be all the list of all the defendants, and that screen was chopped off right there. So, what do you... They cheat and steal at every turn. So they're making it very difficult to get information on Tom's case. But I have a feeling he's going to either take a plea, and we'll see what happens from there. So,
all right. I got another question.
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever looked at this guy's YouTube channel that goes into the Swiss involvement? His channel, his name is GIUREH. And he says that the city of Sion, S-I-O-N, is where the word Zion comes from. And he goes into their involvement with Hitler and all of that. I just, in the Vatican and all that. I just wanted to throw that out there for people to look at. Pretty interesting as well.
Okay, the Swiss involvement? Yeah, that's very interesting. And are you saying there's the city of Sion, S-I-O-N, in Switzerland? Is that where it is?
Yes, it is. And he claims that's where the word Zion comes from. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that I don't know. Do we have any insight on that, Chris or Gary?
You might recall that I related the word Zion or by Zion that Donald Trump used and sort of related that I thought that's where it really was. When you see that V-I in front of Zion, as he's speaking it, that V-I is 6 in Roman numerals or Greek or Latin numerals, if you prefer, maybe even back to ancient Hebrew numerals, which we call Hebrew now.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay, that's all I had for today.
Gene, thanks for calling, my friend. Appreciate your input. Yep, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the American Awakening. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Gary in Michigan, are you with us? Come in, Gary. Gary might be muted or still trying to find his paperwork. So we're going to continue into the... Let's also get some input on the genesis of the word Zion. Let's see how far back we can get.
I could probably do it in a matter of seconds here. Let's try this. At the end of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language... And we're going to look up Zion, and we're going to look up X, Y, and Z. Okay. We are looking up the genesis of the word Zion. Zion, the Jewish people, Israel, the Jewish homeland as a symbol of Judaism, a place or religious community regarded as sacredly devoted to God, city of God, an idealized harmonious community, a utopia, Middle English Sion, S-I-O-N, Old English Sion, S-I-O-N, from Late Latin Sion, S-I-O-N, from Greek
Sion, S-E-I-O-N, from Hebrew, Sion, S-I-Y-O-N. So that's how far back it goes there. Oldest we can get is the old Hebrew, S-I-Y-O-N. And now we have the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. I thought the introduction was very interesting. I'll give a quick re-highlight of just Henry Ford's comment, who kind of validated the fact that these actually do exist. And let me see, can I find Henry Ford's comment? He said something to the effect of, the only thing I can say, the only comment I care to make on the protocols, oh, the only statement, quote, Henry, this is Henry Ford, quote, the only statement I care to make about the protocols is that they fit in with what is going on. They are 16 years old, and they have fitted the world situation up to this time. They fit it now. So we're going to pick up with who are the elders in the discussing and creating the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. This is a secret which has not been revealed. They are the hidden hand. They are not the Board of Deputies or the Universal Israelite Alliance, which sits in Paris. The late Walter Rathenau of Algenheimer Elektrisches Geschenstalf has thrown a little light on the subject, and doubtless he was in possession of their names, being in all likelihood one of the chief leaders himself. Writing in the Weimar Free Press, December 24th, 1912, oh my God, exactly 1 year before the Federal Reserve was passed. Let me see if I can get his name. I butchered the living daylights out of his name. The late Walter Rathenau. Oh, and this is the organization, the Allgemeiner Elektrisches Geschenstalf. All right, that's a German word. I don't speak German very well, as you can see. So, but his name is Walter Rathenau. It says he was most likely one of them because he was in possession of their names. And he wrote, 300 men, each of whom knows all of the others, govern the fate of the European continent, and they elect their successors from their entourage. Once again, quote, 300 men, that's your committee of 300, each of whom knows all the others, govern the fate of the entire European continent, and they elect the successors from their entourage. In the year 1844, on the eve of the Jewish Revolution of 1848, Benjamin Disraeli, whose real name was Israel, published his novel Coningsby, in which occurs this ominous passage. Quote, the world is governed by very different personages from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes. Once again, Benjamin Disraeli. I believe he was the first Jewish Prime Minister of England. The world is governed by very different personages, that's people, from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes, that means us. And he went on to show that these personages were all Zionists. Now that Providence has brought to light of day these secret protocols, all men may clearly see the hidden personages specified by Disraeli who are at work behind the scenes in all governments. This revelation entails on all people the grave responsibility of examining and revising their attitude toward the race, nation which boasts of its survival over all empires. There are two words in this translation which are unusual, the word agentur and political, used as a substantive. Agentur appears to be a word adopted from the original, and it means the whole body of agents and agencies made use of by the elders, whether members of the tribe or their Gentile tools. By the political, Mr. Marsden means not exactly the body politic, but the entire machinery of politics.
The Symbolic Snake of Judaism. Protocol number 3 opens up a reference to the Symbolic Snake of Judaism. In his epilogue to the 1905 edition of the Protocols, Nihlus gives the following interesting account of this symbol. Quote, according to the records of the secret Jewish Zionism, Solomon and other Jewish learned men already in 929 B.C. thought out a scheme in theory for a peaceful conquest of the whole universe by Zion. As history developed, this scheme was worked out in detail and completed by men who were subsequently initiated in this question. These learned men decided by peaceful means to conquer the world for Zion with the slyness of the symbolic snake whose head was to represent those who have been initiated into the plans of the Jewish administration, and the body of the snake to represent the Jewish people. The administration was always kept secret even from the Jewish nation itself. As this snake penetrated into the hearts of the nations which it encountered, it undermined and devoured all the non-Jewish power of these states. It is foretold that the snake has still to finish its work, strictly adhering to the designated plan until the course which it has run is closed by the return of its head to Zion, and until by this means the snake has completed its round of Europe, has encircled, and until by... I think they had a typo here. The enchanting of Europe, it has encompassed the whole world. This it is to accomplish by using every endeavor to subdue the other countries by an economical conquest. That should say an economic conquest, but I think they mean both. The return of the head of the snake to Zion can only be accomplished after the power of all the sovereign of Europe has been laid low, that is to say, by means of economic crisis and wholesale destruction affected everywhere, there shall have been brought about a spiritual demoralization and a moral corruption, what sounds like today, chiefly with the assistance of Jewish women masquerading as French, Italians, etc. These are the surest spreaders of licentiousness into the lives of the leading men at the heads of nations. Oh boy, Ivanka Trump converted to Judaism to marry Jared Kushner. A map of the course of the symbolic snake is shown as follows. Its first stage in Europe was 429 B.C. in Greece, where about the time of Pericles, the snake first started eating into the power of that country. The second stage was in Rome in the time of Augustus, about 69 B.C. Let me stop right there. Augustus was not his real name. His real name was Octavian. And he, Octavian, who changed his name to Augustus, was the first Pontifex Maximus. Pontiff, that means Pope. They still call him the Pontiff to this day. Octavian, who changed his name to Augustus, was the first Pope, initiated himself in the year 12 B.C. That's 12 years before Jesus was born. So the Roman Catholic Church was not founded and started by and on and for and about Jesus. It was started as a state religion by Caesar Augustus, whose real name was Octavian, in the year 12 B.C., before Christianity even existed. Jesus had not been born yet. There's your Pope today, and still calling the Pontiff, still calling them dioceses, which they divided the Roman Empire into. And you can go to your own diocese today in your city and look up the Vicar General, and that's the man who manages the witch's court behind the scenes. Most cities now also have a judicial vicar. Whose judicial do you think he's vicaring? So the second stage was in Rome. Hello? Do we have a caller?
I was going to say, when you observe the odd spelling of the name Caesar, as we're called, or told it is, C-A-E-S-A-R, it's more likely Khazar or Khazar, as the case may be, whether it's with the capital K-A for the sun god, the czar, the sun god, or C, capital H-A, Kaha, Khazar, that means an assembly of the worshippers of the czars. And so
whether it's the one or the other, I can't tell you for sure, but it's very suggestive when you look at the CAE at the beginning of that word term that kind of gives an insight that there might be something more to the spell of that name than what meets the eye.
Excellent point. So, the first stage was in Greece near the year 429 BC. The second stage was in Rome during the time of Augustus, the first pope, in 69 BC. The third stage was in Madrid in the time of Charles V in 1552. The fourth stage was in Paris about 1790, in the time of Louis XVI. The fifth stage was in London from 1814 onwards, after the downfall of Napoleon. The sixth stage was in Berlin in 1871, after the Franco-Prussian War. The seventh was in St. Petersburg, over which is drawn the head of the snake, under the date of 1881. This snake is now being drawn through the Americas, and in the United States of America, it has been partially identified as the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. All these states which the snake traversed have had the foundations of their constitutions shaken. Germany, with its apparent power forming no exception to the rule. In economic conditions, England and Germany were spared, but only till the conquest of Russia is accomplished by the snake, on which, at present, i.e. 1905, all its efforts are concentrated. The further course of the snake is not shown on this map, but arrows indicate its next movement towards Moscow, Kiev, and Odessa. It is now well known to us to what extent the latter cities form the centers of the militant Zionist race. Constantinople is shown as the last stage of the snake's course before it reaches Jerusalem. They say the map was drawn years before the occurrence of the Young Turk Revolution in Turkey. So let's get right into the protocols. I thought that was very interesting about Augustus tying into this. The protocols of the meetings of the learned elders of Zion. And Chris and Gary, or callers as well, if you'd like to join in and chime in, the number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I see we're coming up to a break according to the clock here that I look at. And there's the music. So we'll be right back and talk about the protocols of the meetings of the learned elders of Zion. On the American Awakening, you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the network, won't you? If you like what you hear, this is Eric Creamer with Chris and Gary. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us on the RBN Network. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.